welcome to Spooky Chris episode, gosh, what are we up to now? 78, 94, I don't know, man, like it's kind of gone by. I think I'm at 10, which is crazy to think that I'm 10 episodes into this monstrous thing. So if you've listened to one episode, this is your first episode, if you're listening to all 10, bravo, and thank you, I appreciate it. This go around, I thought I'd talk about something I kind of am delving into, and that's Shudder. Shudder is the streaming horror service that popped up maybe within the last couple of years, and it's slowly been kind of gaining some ground. And I finally talked myself into taking a chance on it, which is funny because I mean, as a kid, you know, a kid that grew up loving horror and, you know, just, it's just funny that I would have hesitated at all. I mean, I guess. And really, it was more money than anything else. Our household kind of already has Hulu and Netflix and Amazon Prime, so we have enough. And there's a point where I just am kind of like, oh, we don't need a million streaming services because that's just kind of encouraging everyone. But the notion of a strictly horror one did appeal to me. And $50 for a year ain't too bad. I'll give them a year and see what happens. It's funny, I remember before Sci-Fi Channel popped up. It was right when they were just starting to talk about it and kind of beat the drum to get interest in it. And there was going to be a game show called Gore Zone. It was a horror game show. And I was desperately excited for both, because it was going to be sci-fi movies and horror films and fantasy films. They were just calling it Sci-Fi Channel. Now, it vastly changed when it hit the network, you know, when it became a real thing. Gore's own TV show never popped up, and really it never kind of became what they said. It has had its moments, like, and it definitely leans into horror, but it's not until recently that it's kind of tried to lean into smarter and not direct-to-video horror. And it's weird that you would think, it's weird as you grow up, how discerning you become, and it's, you know, I think it's just you develop your taste. Some people get a taste for the finer things, and some people get a taste for hamburgers from McDonald's. It is what it is. It's what you're interested in. And for me, I never really gravitated to the general direct-to-video movies because they were just kind of, they didn't work for me. Like, they may even be, I mean, sci-fi movies are sci-fi channel movies are pretty for sure, but they're very shallow and not very deep. And again, there's an audience for them, and I'm glad they're out there because the kid that discovers those, you know, discovers like 14-headed Barracuda attack may become the kid that creates the next great shark film, you know, or the next great slasher movie, something. Like, we all have to get started on something, and there's something to be said for the popcorn movies. It was interesting, I finally got around to watching my Arrow Blu-ray of Crimson Peak, which Crimson Peak is just criminally underrated as a film in general and as a genre film. Now, it's more of a gothic, so it's not like it's a straight horror film per se, but man, it's funny, I remember seeing it in the theater, and I was so excited to see a horror film in IMAX, and I'm sure we'll never get another chance like that, but I remember, I was disappointed at the time, because it's not what I expected. And that's because I kind of thought it was going to be the scary haunted house movie with tons of ghosts and all kinds of, and it's not that. It's a gothic film. And he, you know, Del Toro has worked very hard to correct that. And, you know, having seen it three times now, I think, like, once you kind of understand what it is and you kind of go with it, man, it's a powerful movie. It's such a good movie. Like, the acting and the ghost stuff, like, there is a dark center to this, you know, and that's kind of the tragedy and sorrow are key parts of gothic kind of storytelling. And it's such a good film, such a gorgeous film. It's a shame, especially because how many people love those kind of romantic period pieces. And just didn't, and again, it was a horror, you know, horror-ish film. It's dark. It's an R-rated movie. I get it. They want the kind of PG-13 kind of little affairs, and I get it. But man, it was a shame. It was a shame that it was kind of abandoned at the theaters the way it was. But it was interesting because, you know, someone, an actor on there was talking about how their taste lends more towards kind of, you know, more intellectual horror, more horror of the mind, more horror of the illusion, and not horror that's more graphic. And I absolutely can appreciate and respect that. You know, I, in my own stuff, I have pulled punches, it's whatever the story works best with. I love the whole genre I don't generally start with I like it, but I like the whole genre. There's definitely stuff that I appreciate more than other stuff. There's definitely more things I'm interested in than others. But I get a kick out of some of the trashier elements of horror. Like, I appreciate trauma, like, for what they are. And I appreciate the direct-to-video stuff that's done well. A lot of it, unfortunately, is done poorly, and it is a cash grab. It's just people trying to cash in on a genre that's hot or that's inexpensive to make. And horror is pretty inexpensive to make. I mean, the most expensive thing would be the special effects, generally. You're using filmmakers that are untested, actors that are untested, you know, everybody's kind of learning as they go, so you can kind of do it without a lot of investment and make your money back pretty easily. So I definitely have more of a fondness for well-crafted horror, but I do, you know, I like, I mean, I've short films and stuff. Short films don't have to have any budget. It's just how well you do it. So I just, I guess for me, I have a more holistic look at the whole thing, kind of a approach to horror. Like, there's a lot of stuff I don't like. Gosh, we just did a podcast Friday, and I was going on and on about a bunch of, like, you know, sub basement genres that I hate. People dig them, so I guess whatever. It's not my bag, but you know, I love the whole genre itself, though. And that, I mean, that is why I am glad that something like Shudder exists. I never, you know, much like I never would have dreamed that something like The Walking Dead, a gory zombie show, a show that's darker at times, darker and at times gorier than Romero's classic Living Dead films were. And it's, I never, you know, it was, you know, a number one cable show for years, so I never would have guessed, you know, that we'd have this kind of a renaissance and appreciation of horror. I never would have guessed we'd have a horror channel. And it's funny because, you know, on first blush, I was kind of like, meh. And it's, here, all right, so here's the silliness. So I have wanted to see two movies for a while. A movie called Ghost Watch and a movie called Lost Coast Tapes, or Bigfoot Lost Coast Tapes. Both found footage. God help me. I am just a slappy for that found footage. And again, it's the storytelling aspect. It's the campfire aspect. It's not that I love watching shaky cameras bounce around and people who aren't trained as actors, like, trying to figure out how to act to something they don't see. But I do gravitate towards those. I want to see both for a while, and I would look them up on Amazon. I'm like, I'll just rent them. And I kept seeing that they're on Shudder. I'm like, son of a biscuit. And I resisted going with, like, a trial, like, 7-day try thing, just because I didn't want to forget about it and get charged. And again, because we have so many services that we already pay for. But I finally, I got a new phone, and I'm looking up podcasts because all my podcasts got wiped out. And I saw one that, it's a dramatized horror one that Shudder puts out. And I subscribed to it, and I'm like, huh, and I planted that seed, and the seed grew pretty quickly, so I decided to get Shudder, And I was super stoked. I'm like, oh, cool. Like, I finally watched Ghostwatch. And I managed to get on there before it's in the leaving soon kind of category. So I watched that yesterday. I watched it twice yesterday because I wanted my wife to see it. And it's a 1990s faux documentary about a ghost investigation at a house in Britain. And it's really well done. I liked it actually better the second time because I, having read the wiki on it and about it, I appreciated it much more and I got a little more out of it. I still think, you know, the ending's kind of meh, but still really good. And Lost Coast Tapes naturally is off Shudder now. I'm not amused with that. But so those are what drew me. And so the frustrating thing is that it's still a new enough network that, like, our smart TV, there's not an app on it for it. So we'd have to get, like, a Roku or a Fire Stick or whatever, or watch it online. And those are all not what I'm looking to do. I just want to watch it on my TV. So luckily, we have an Xbox One. And so I downloaded the app and watched through there. And the Xbox app for Shudder is pretty awful. Especially when you look at the mobile app, which is great. That's a much better done app. And it's frustrating. My hope is that as Shudder kind of grows, because it's still, it's a still real new network that's just now getting a lot more notoriety. The horror noir documentary, I think they're starting to kind of turn heads now because they're embracing all of horror. Like, I think when they started, I think you just kind of get what you can get. They may have had people thinking that it was just going to be a trashy horror channel, but they really are embracing the whole of the genre. So kind of gutter to Penthouse. And in that, there's a lot that, people underestimate the power of that genre. So, hopefully as they move along, they'll get on more TVs and apps and stuff and get a better shot at reaching people. Cause that's the big thing is again, like the Xbox app is just a terrible, cause I'm looking at it and I'm like, man, there's not a ton of movies on here and that's a drag. My hope would be that it's going to get better, but I was kind of disappointed. And then I downloaded the app just for kind of a grin and looked through, and there's a lot more than I thought. And you see it on the app. And it's great. Again, I'm excited to fool around with the channel in that I love that they're doing television now, that they have the Critter Show, they're doing the Creep Show program, and that they're kind of, broadening what they are. I hope they do. And they brought Joe Bob back, which is great. I hope they do a talk show, a horror talk show. I hope they embrace everything the genre has to offer, like a news show. Like anything to really, again, embrace everything there is. Because there's so many talented people in horror in all aspects. I would have something that embraces the horror the musical aspect of horror. Like, there's so many horror rock bands and horror hip-hop acts out there, and it's just, I think there's a lot to delve into, and I really hope they start to as they get more and more kind of interest and success. I would hope that Blumhouse, and Blumhouse kind of partnered with Hulu for a year to put out their 12 movies, one a month. I would hope that Blumhouse would start, and some of these horror kind of creators would start investing themselves into this network, because again, this is a great opportunity to create content for them, and that's the good thing. That's the cool thing about the horror genre is that everybody is, and we learned this kind of by doing our convention, is that it's a family as much as anything else. Most people that do a lot of horror, directing, acting, special effects, appreciate the fans. Think that we're all kind of nutty, but they appreciate them, and they appreciate that they're there. A lot of folks that are just actors or directors or whatever, I'm sure they appreciate their fans, but they are, everyone's at arm's length because they don't want that interaction. So my hope is that with Shudder, we'll get more original content. We'll get more. It was pretty cool. And again, I'm just basing off of what I looked at on the app. We'll see what's on there as I kind of fool around with the Xbox app and can see what's on my TV. I love that Cannibal Ferox and Cannibal Holocaust are on there. And that's amazing. And Lovely Molly's on there. Like, there's some great movies. And then, again, some trash classics. Gosh, if they could partner with Troma and, like, get Troma's catalog. Because Troma stuff, I thought, was on YouTube. I would try to get Troma stuff on there. I would try to, like truly start really becoming the place to go for horror. Start, like, digging through the archives, as it were, and bringing out those, like, every month feature one lost classic. One trash classic. God, I'd love to see an uncut version of, it's called The Grim Reaper in America, and I just, for some, Anthropophagus on there. I own, like, the DVD, but I think it'd be great for people to experience the weirdness of that movie. There's just a lot of cool stuff, and I hope they are able to do that. And again, I know they are working with limited budgets and limited resources, but I just hope that they're able to really kind of make this channel something special. It's already kind of neat. The novelty is great, and it's again that they're building that, you know, with Joe Bob, like, and with Creepshow and Critters, like, it's cool. Like, I mean, I wish they had the funding to bring back Elvira. I know she's coming back somehow, some way, but I'm sure they just don't have that kind of budget. And maybe that's okay. I mean, I horror sometimes works in the best, with low budget, but I have high hopes for them. I think they, if they can start making their own documentaries, like, that would be fantastic. And Horror Noir, it looks like, I'm not sure if that's produced by them, like, I'd have to look into it more, but that's a huge step forward. Like, but being more than just a slasher channel, or a gore channel, or, you know, a, like, being, embracing the whole of the genre is a huge step in the right direction, and it'll be interesting. We'll see. Like I said, I'm giving them a year, and we'll see how it goes, and I'm hoping for the best. I'm excited to see what they can do. The novelty of a horror channel isn't lost on me. And I love Criterion movies, and I love comedies, and I love all manner of stuff, but I can kind of get that stuff elsewhere. And, like, you know, a horror channel on its own is pretty great. There were the two, Comcast had their own, and then, gosh, AT&T or somebody, like, cable channels. I think Cable had the Chiller channel, and then Comcast had their own kind of horror thing, and then they kind of both ditched them, and so we were kind of left hanging again. So it's great to see it out there, and we'll see what the channel does. I'm hopeful. And again, like, I hope they can embrace, like, it'd be cool if they could find, like, up-and-coming talent, up-and-coming filmmakers, up-and-coming musicians, up-and-coming writers, up-and-coming, you know, people in the field that aren't established, and help establish them, and, like, really become kind of a proving ground. That'd be pretty great. But anyways, we'll see what happens. I am Spooky Chris. This is my creepy podcast. I am an author and weirdo. You can find my stuff at SpookyChris.com, or my books on Amazon.com. Have a great day.